If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Listen to this clip from Wally Phillips. It's a montage.
22 minutes until 8 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, radio legend Wally Phillips. That makes you sound kind of like Mount Rushmore, doesn't it?
Good morning,
your legendship.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
All right,
guess
buddy.
What I did for you?
What?
I looked up your family tree.
Uh-oh.
A monkey tinkled on me.
Excuse me. Hello?
Never ever heard such filth and smut.
Well, I'm sorry, madam. I didn't think you'd take it that way. I was about to say that we're all about the same
way. You know something's wrong with you. You're a sick man.
Thank you.
Person like you needs help.
Must be somebody around who really dearly loves me.
Hello, Wally. This is Burt Reynolds. You know what?
What?
I'm sick of you. Sick.
And this is Tuesday, March 4th. It's 8:20. And Tallman Home Federal Savings. Troubles.
Wally!
Yes.
Wally Phillips!
Yes.
Listen to me. The studio is surrounded.
Dingbat.
We're sending in Dave Ennett. Don't do anything rash.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's here to help you.
Okay.
I repeat, he's here to help you.
He should be committed.
Slowly hand over the microphone. And please, don't tell any jokes.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Don't
I read you.
Don't harm Dave Ennett.
Roger, out. Dave, you're on.
Don't harm Dave Ennett. Dave, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, Lisa, for some strange reason. I mean, there's so much history in that entire, what was it, a couple of minutes there, Tallman Home Federal Savings, and somebody telling Wally not to harm me. But I do remember that. I mean, that was an honor just to have my name mentioned on his show and to have him tossing it to me.
Oh, my gosh. This is Dave Ennett, who is celebrating our 100th anniversary by golfing today, which makes Kevin Powell very jealous because he'd like to be on the golf course with you. But so do you have any idea what year that might have been, Dave?
I would think it was probably 1984, 1985, somewhere in there. Those were the years. 84 through 86, I was on with Wally. And that was my first taste of WGN radio on the air, was on Wally's show. And I told the story before. Chuck Swirsky and Dan Fabian met with me, and they said, well, you got to meet with Wally. So I had a meeting in Wally's office, and you better believe I was nervous.
Yeah.
And then after that, they agreed to give me a one-week audition on Wally's show. And so that's what I did. I came out. It was the week the Cubs were playing the Padres in the 1984 playoffs, and the Cubs' first postseason appearance since 1945. And all of a sudden, I'm on every morning with Wally. And a week went by. I went home and waited by my phone pretty much 24/7, and then got a call that I had the job and I was being hired, and I did sports on Wally's show.
Oh, my gosh. And you've been here ever since now. You became sports director at WGN in July of 96, right?
Yeah, so I did. I was there, and then I actually sort of transitioned into a management role, and I was the assistant program director. And then at that point, I actually left and went to another station, thinking it was a good career move for me, and I've told myself never look back. I think it was. I think I grew a lot in those years. And then in 1996, I had the opportunity to come back to WGN as the sports director. And so it's 26 years I've been back now.
He lost that long string, though, when he left. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I did. That's why. So Steve now has the longer continuous string of service to WGN radio.
I'd forgotten about that.
But you know what happens? Yeah. If you leave and come back, you get more money.
Is that right?
Look, and it's like, don't talk about that, Lisa. Hey, have you had a chance to have one of the WGN Chicago's very own lagers yet?
I had one last night,
and
it was delicious. It 5 stars in my ratings, I don't know what Kevin gave it in his locally brewed beer power rankings, but I would put it right up there, number one or number two.
Ten out of ten best beer I've ever had, Dave. Absolutely delicious.
Okay, that's even better. Okay, that works.
And how's the golf game going today, Dave?
We're just kind of getting started here. It's hot, but it's a great group that I'm with, some good friends, some radio dudes from around the Big Ten, and we're having a good time.
Well, we will toast you. Enjoy your day, and thank you so much for being the fabric of this radio station. You have been here forever, and I loved hearing that audio from Wally Phillips. Thanks for joining us too, Dave. Have a good one.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Take care.
Steve Bertrand has the longest string of broadcasts on this radio station currently. That is correct, Steve, right?
That's correct, yes.
God,
only because
awesome.
Dave left for a while.
Listen to this piece of audio. This will bring back some memories.
A leading China watcher says Deng Xiaoping no longer runs China, and President Yang Changkun has taken responsibility for the country's day-to-day affairs. David Shambaugh, a political science professor with the University of London, told foreign correspondents that Yang now has the second biggest power base in the country after Deng, China's longtime patriarch. Shambaugh says Deng has genuinely retired, adding that should Deng die, the 84-year-old Yang, who also controls China's powerful military, would move quickly into the position of supreme leader. Whether after this.
Lisa, that is Dick Sutliff, the immortal, who's no longer with us. And we were talking, Bob Kessler and I both were sort of mentees of his, I guess. He was a curmudgeon, and he would throw tantrums. We were targets of his, but he taught us so much, and that is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, you're going to know this voice as well. This is Andrea Darlis. Say hello to Steve Bertrand.
Oh, Lisa. You know, hi, Steve. Hi,
hey,
Bob. Lisa, I have carts, literally 8-track carts of Steve Bertrand tormenting me in the late 90s when I was a young reporter there, and he would just record our conversations and all of my mistakes, I should say, when I was filing reports back from payphones back in the day.
So it makes you whippersnappers better.
And isn't that funny? You were talking about what he did to you, and she's talking about what you did to her. It's how it
completely works.
Lisa,
I know you know Steve well, but holy cow, we're going to get together someday and tell stories. And Dick Sutliff was hilarious. I was the evening news anchor, and then Dick would come in and relieve me in the overnight hours. And he would always complain and say, these young kids today, and I'm cleaning this up, but he would say, these young kids today, these kids under 30. And I went, Dick, I'm 25. You included.
Oh, that's
but
the best.
Learned.
Did you ever have any of those moments, Andrea, where you got into a piece of copy like that and you're in the WGN news department, which you know comes with a certain you just have to maintain, where you just thought you're going to lose it?
You know what? It's so funny. I always think back, and this morning I was on Facebook and I got kicked off of Facebook because I was uploading so many pictures. I thought, oh my God, I was doing my own little trip down memory lane. But we had so much fun in that newsroom. And I remember Steve was actually anchoring one time, and it was a story. It was a big story. It was when Elizabeth Smart was found alive. And do you remember this, Steve? And Steve was anchoring, and we used to have that ABC News squawk box in the newsroom, and it would say stations, you know, blah, 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 the president has resigned, whatever it would be, the ABC News would give you the alert. And he heard Elizabeth Smart, blank, 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 you know, he couldn't quite hear it. And so we wrote down on a piece of paper, Elizabeth Smart's alive. And Steve turned on the microphone and he said, and we have breaking news this hour, Elizabeth Smart is, and he turned and he went, I can't read this.
I think, as I recall, I turned the mic off, but I turned and I said, I don't know what this says.
We just, you know, lifelong friendships is what WGN is, because I literally think about the station and the call letters and you guys every day. And Lisa, you sound great. And I just think of you guys all the time. And it's a part of me. I spent half my life there. So
yeah.
It will always, always be fond memories.
And tell everybody what you do now.
Now I work for the University of Illinois, my alma mater. I have a fancy title. It's Senior Director of Constituent Engagement. And I'm basically a media liaison for the University of Illinois. I'm based in Chicago because it's my home. And that's what I do. I'm a media liaison for the University of Illinois, trying to promote the U of I, and have booked a couple guests for you. And,
yes,
you know, your producers are always great about asking, keeping up with what's going on for our state school. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But we had, again, such great times, such great people, and such great memories.
Oh, you are one of the voices that I always associate with WGN. So thank you for jumping on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Absolutely. Anytime. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday. And I love you guys and I miss you guys.
Hey, and grab a beer. We've got Chicago's very own. You're going to love it.
Ooh, I'm in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. You're going to know the voice of the next guy. It's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. And Lou, how many years have you been on WGN Radio?
Oh, boy. 27 years.
Gosh. Do you remember when you came into the office and you said, let me tell you something, Lisa?
I do. I gave you the same advice that Roy Leonard gave me 27 years ago.
And you know what? That piece of advice shows up on that documentary tonight, at least in some form. When I watched it, I went, hey, that's what Lou Manfredini told me.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, when it comes to that station, you know, there've been many, many people in front of the microphones that are either gone or no longer work there, but they were still a very integral part of the place. And I really do think, too, the secret sauce of WGN Radio is the people you don't hear. You know, we have amazing producers. We have amazing engineers, you know, people behind the scenes, all the people that do the traffic and the sales and all that stuff that are constantly focused on doing a really good job so that the people that are speaking in front of the microphone, you know, look the best they possibly can. And I've always thought that along with the ownership that our listeners have towards this station is the reason that we've been around for 100 years.
And we have Marlene.
And we have Marlene. And you never worked with this unbelievably wonderful woman named Carol Hankner, who was there also just as long as Marlene and was such a huge part of keeping the wheels on the track as we went down the railway.
And Lou, a lot of people are calling in about Eddie Schwartz and things that he did, and people have memories of what WGN has done for the community. And I know I want you to hit what you're doing, because this is a charity, a nonprofit that is very near and dear to your heart. And I want you to tell everybody what's happening on Saturday.
Oh, well, we're super excited because, you know, one of the things, Lisa, that I haven't been able to do at all since the start of the pandemic is do remotes. We used to do probably half a dozen remotes every year, and we'd get a great crowd to come out and just enjoy company and talking and show, you know, be part of the show. So we're going to be broadcasting Saturday from the Greenhouse Inn on the campus of Misericordia. And it's at 6300 North Ridge Avenue from 6 to 10 a.m. Come in and make a $5 donation. You'll have a little continental breakfast. You'll have a chance to win some great 100-year anniversary T-shirts and other items that we have. We're going to have a cooking demonstration where Oklahoma Joe's is going to be outside cooking some stuff, and we're even going to smoke some cocktails from our friends at Whiskey Acres, and it's all brought to us by Oklahoma Joe's, Whiskey Acres, and Arnold Electric. We're going to talk a little bit about getting your home ready for the summer. So I'm just really excited to reconnect with the listeners face-to-face. And it all starts Saturday at the Greenhouse Inn at Misericordia at 6 a.m.
He's a guy that every woman wishes that she was married to. It's true. It's true.
A lot of the men, too.
Well, you're all very kind.
Lou, thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Happy anniversary, WGN Radio. We love you.
Cheers to you. And look for Lou tonight on that TV show. It's a documentary that will air on WGN TV, Channel 9, tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk to the next person whose voice you know 60 years on WGN. Welcome to Chicago's Afternoon News, Orion Samuelson. We're so delighted to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine, and I'm delighted to talk to you, and I have a question for you. Where in Illinois was the farm where you grew up?
I came to farming late. My husband is currently putting the last 100 acres of beans in Adams County. So western Illinois is where we farm right now.
Okay, I know where that is. I visited that county along with about every other Illinois county many times.
And Orion, you got to know, he was nervous because we had rain and issues, and he was explaining to me, because we've only been together 10 years, so I'm new to farming, and he said, you don't understand, yields are going to go down, I'll lose $70 an acre, we're talking about $70,000 if I'm not. So he has been working 21 to 22 hours a day for the past 4 days.
Yes, and this is just planting season. He'll be working even longer hours when the time to harvest this crop comes to fruition. And that's one of the biggest concerns of farmers, because it's one of the things they cannot control is the weather, whether it's wintertime or summertime or whatever else. So I'm hoping your husband and every other farmer in listening range is able to get the crop planted.
Orion, you were a lifeline for farmers for 60 years on this radio station. What was the toughest job that you had to do on WGN, or the toughest year, or the toughest things you encountered?
Well, the day I'll never forget is the day that Gene Doretti, who was one of our newsmen, came in while I was on the air doing the noon show and laid a piece of yellow paper in front of me. That was the color of the paper that we'd get from the teletype. And I looked down at the paper, and it said, President Kennedy has been shot in Dallas. And I thought, that's a terrible joke to play to with somebody on the air. And I looked up to the control room, saw Gene and saw Bob Seibold, our engineer, and I knew in a minute that was a real bulletin. It was not something they were doing to play a little joke. And so I was on the air to carry that. But, you know, the question is, what do you do when you have made that bulletin announcement? Because we didn't have television instantly, and we didn't have the internet and everything else that we rely on in broadcasting today. So what else do you do? I went back to reading the weather forecast that I was doing when I was interrupted by the bulletin. But today I've never forgotten, and of course, following all of the activity that accompanied that, it was a story that just didn't go away.
You are a national treasure. I want you to tell me, what is your most treasured tractor? What is a tractor that you love the most?
Farmall F20, because I can still remember the day in 1939 when that tractor was unloaded off the truck and delivered to our farm. That's when we went from horses to a tractor and all of the tools that went along with it. So a Farmall F20, the red tractor, was number one for me, but of course there were a lot of green tractors in the community too, so that rivalry was always there between the red tractor and the green tractor.
We have so many text messages coming in, people that you gave an apron to at the fair, people whose phone calls you returned, and Jim is on the phone. Jim, here's your chance to talk to one of the most iconic broadcast personalities in the world. Say hi to Orion Samuelson.
Orion, thanks for all you've done all the years. I've listened for a very long time. Hey, every year you would make a prediction as to where the Dow Jones would end up at the end of the year. Did you do that for this crazy year, perchance?
No, I did not. I stopped doing that 3 years ago because it's just an impossibility to predict where the markets are going today when you can have a 1,000-point swing in one day. It's just impossible to, at least for me, to predict where the market will end at the end of every year. But I think I did that for about 10 or 12 years, and then the markets got crazy, and that's when I decided I better stop doing that.
Oh,
well, thanks for all the great listening over the year. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're just so thankful to have you on this afternoon as we celebrate 100 years. Are you going to tip back one of those Chicago's very own lagers?
I don't have one yet, but if you want to send one to me, I'll make it a point to do that. And, you know, there are other things. I grew up in Wisconsin, and I don't know if you had this gem of information, but Wisconsin consumes more brandy than any other state in the nation because of brandy old fashioned. So I'll sit back and have a brandy old fashioned.
And we will toast you, because this radio station would not still be on the air. This is my belief. It would not have lasted this long with your contributions, not only to WGN in Chicago, but broadcasting in general. It's my pleasure to talk to you, Orion, and I hope you're enjoying every day of retirement. And cheers to you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for letting me share a thought or two.
Oh, we adore you. I can't wait for you to see the documentary that is going to air tonight on WGN-TV, Channel 9, at 7 o'clock. You will see our next two guests on that very show. But I want to play this piece of audio from the Bob Collins Show. I think you'll enjoy it.
We had a motorist with a smoke and hose out there. The fire department responded.
I beg your pardon?
A motorist whose car has a smoking hose. So traffic is a little slow there. Now people will want to stop and see.
Well, there's Larry. Give me directions, Johnny.
That is Johnny Putman on with Bob Collins. And, of course, her husband, Steve King. You can't have Johnny without Steve or Steve without Johnny. They're both joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News. Now, did you purposely smay smoke and hot hose because you knew the reaction?
No, I lived to make him laugh. I seriously looked for things to report to break him up, because that tackle was worth living for.
And you know, any time Johnny said anything like that, Collins was going to take it and run with it.
Yep, absolutely. So, Johnny, do you have any idea what year that might have been?
That was probably in 86. Because when I started at the station in 85, I was doing the split shift of traffic. I was doing mornings with Wally and afternoons with Bob. And then I was also doing a segment of Steve's show overnight. So I was everywhere. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I am so thrilled to have you on as part of WGN's 100th anniversary, because honestly, I believe I listen to you two more than anybody on WGN, spending years coming into the city to do a morning show.
You know,
you guys had such a huge audience, and you are the fabric of this radio station. So what years were you here, Steve? Were you always together? I wasn't here for the beginning.
I started, this is going to sound like something out of a bad Hallmark movie. I started on Christmas Eve of 1984, filling in for Bob Collins on Afternoon Drive. Johnny joined me the following Valentine's Day.
Yes, we were newlyweds. We hadn't even been married a year yet. And then program director Dan Fabian said, well, this will work perfect. You being newlyweds and all, you need to go in there. And Steve was doing an evening show, again, filling in for Bob. He said, you need to go in there and surprise him on Valentine's Day. And I said, are you sure? Because quite honestly, Lisa, they were coming off of the only other time they had attempted a male-female duo. And it was oil and water. It had gone very badly. So I said, okay, well, this is our marriage on the line now. And I traipsed in there and made it look like it was a surprise. And from then on, we just kind of worked out this wonderful schedule where Steve was doing overnights and I was joining him at the end of it. And then Bob moved to morning. So then I would just stay around. And I was kind of the bridge between the two shows.
When we were hired, we were told that we were going to do the overnight show, and then we were going to segue to middays. And after several years, Bob Collins was appreciative of the lead-in we were giving, and he went to management and he said, I don't want them going to middays.
I bet.
So that was when we decided, okay, if we're going to do all nights, we're going to do the best darn all-night show we can do.
The best
we were doing
in the nation.
6 hours. We were 6 hours a night at that time. So, you know, that's a lot of yammering. But I always said to newlyweds, if you could just have your own radio show, you're going to be able to make it, because you've got to leave everything at the door if you want the show to work. And when you get off the air, you know, there were times when I would say, doggone it, I was so mad at you when we came in, but you were good. So I'll let you slide this time.
And how many years you've been married?
38.
Yep.
And I saw it on Facebook, and you two are so incredibly good at social media. And I've got this question because people were texting this morning and this afternoon saying, who was on the air when Bob Collins' funeral was taking place?
You know, I don't know.
That's a good question. We were at the funeral. Was it Dean Richards?
I don't. It could have been. Dean was actually on the air the night we got married. I do remember that, because he had everybody listening clink their glasses for us. But the day of the funeral, I don't recall, because that's kind of all of a blur.
Yeah.
Two times that I cried on the radio was the morning after, when the newspapers came in, as they would come in every morning between 4 and 4:30, and with the newspaper plopped down in front of me, and it opened up, and there was Bob's plane on top of the hospital, and that was just it. I said, oh, I've held it together this long. I'm sorry, folks. I can't do it anymore.
Because that was back in the days when Perry Miller was, as we called him, the newspaper man to the stars. He used to deliver all the newspapers to all of the radio and television stations in the Chicago area. And Perry came in, and he dropped the newspapers off, as he usually did, and there was Bob's face right on the front of the paper. And I think that may have been one of the times when it really hit us hard.
Yeah. And we held it together during 9/11 and during that whole, you know, we were a psychiatrist couch for people to call in and just cry and just be together. We were just verbally holding hands that night. The only other time that I completely lost it was the night that Lakeshore Drive closed down with a big blizzard that Roger Badish was caught in. And Roger was with us all night long. And when he was finally rescued, I was just, okay. We've been with him all night long, and they finally got him on a bus, and they're taking him to a hospital. I said, sorry, folks.
And then we didn't know if Roger was going to make it.
That's right. Yeah.
People are texting in and calling. It was Steve Cochran who was on the air during Bob Collins' funeral.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, all the memories you share, people are sharing memories of you. You know, you might have memories of WGN, but this audience has Steve and Johnny memories that will last a lifetime.
Lisa, we did what we thought was a very funny April Fool's joke. We have our producer, Edna Ho, and her husband, who is very, very British, very British accent. We had them come in and pretend to be us on April Fool's. And
I was sitting on the other side of the board, and we would feed them answers to questions. But at one point, somebody asked a question about us that we didn't know the answer to.
We couldn't answer them because we were feeding them all the answers, and we were beginning to get people to believe that that was really us.
That is so wonderful.
Too much.
And we wouldn't have Bob Kessler doing news today if it wasn't for Steve and Johnny.
Yes, he was. We've had so many producers, literally. Steve, would you agree we've had at least 25 producers over the years?
Oh, at least, sure.
And it's not because we had a bad relationship. We had a great relationship with them, and so they would go on and do mornings and afternoons and the Jenny
also,
Jones show.
Working overnights it takes a special breed of person. Not everybody can stay up all night long.
Right.
And then
that
doesn't make them a bad person. That just means some people are not built to do that.
Well, you two were. You are iconic. I thank you for joining us as we celebrate 100 years, and I hope everybody turns on that documentary tonight so that they can see your faces.
And can I just say that that's my Easter tree in the background? Somebody said, which tree did you have up? And I said, well, it was April. It was the Easter tree. And I said, oh, that's going to live on forever, the weirdo with the tree.
Steve and Johnny on WGN, have a beautiful day, and we'll be looking for
you
on TV tonight.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa.
Bye.